a crackdown on alleged Islamists intensifies. Russia's propaganda machine gets a haircut, and a big decision looms on Belarus. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFARL. Joining me in the studio is RFARL's senior editor, Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, in recent days, we've seen a raid against an alleged terrorist cell in Moscow. We've also seen an anti-terrorist operation in Ingushetia. In Grozny, three suspects suspected of being trained by Islamic States were killed. And we even had rumblings in Crimea, where the Crimean Tatar community was accused of recruiting recruits for Islamic State. Has the domestic phase of Russia's Syria campaign kicked in, Steve? Are we about to see a crackdown?
Well, I think the short answer is yes. I mean, Russia, since it's saying that it's fighting Islamic State in Syria, it has an interest in portraying, sort of demonizing Islamic State at home to some degree. But there is some subtlety here. I'm not sure authorities linked this alleged cell in Moscow to Islamic State. I don't think.
Not yet.
So, and I think, I mean, you do have a consideration here where Putin said, we're in Syria, you know, because we want to stop the terrorists before they get here. So on the one hand, Russia wants to demonize Islamic State. But on the other hand, if you're saying, okay, there's, you know, attacks or plots going on in the heart of Russia, then you're almost saying, you know, your strategy is too late or it's failed. Mm-hmm. So I think they have some interest in toning that side of it down. But on the other hand, I think the Russian government has real fears about Islamic State, you know, the potential that it could attack at home. So, you know, I think we will see somewhat of a crackdown.
I mean, the other thing is that there real fears are not that this could be used as a pretext for a crackdown, and that this could just be another thing used to shore up the regime.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it sort of goes back to, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s, where, you know, we're talking about the you know, you have different groups named as enemies, and now it's Islamic State. You know, they always have a ready group as a kind of a scapegoat for a crackdown. Yes.
Yeah. And I just read quite an interesting piece in The Washington Post by Jackson Deal comparing Putin's policies with Assad to Chechnya, linking Assad and Kadyrov.
Yeah. The pinpoint strikes. And everything.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the Belarusian elections took place over the weekend. There were no surprises. Probably one of the most boring elections ever. But on the other hand, there's an opening that things could happen now, and this can get very interesting. There were no protests, no crackdown, and there's indications that the West are about to lift sanctions. Do we expect to see Lukashenko's flirtation with the West continue?
Well, I think we definitely will, at least in the sort of short and maybe medium term. I mean, you have the EU probably going to suspend sanctions for 4 months. That could come today, or at least an informal decision could come today. And the opposition, you know, a lot of opposition people have been released or they've come back to the country. And if you looked, you know, during the election campaign, you know, they were criticizing Lukashenko. But on the other hand, they have a common enemy, essentially, in Russia. You had the opposition calling for saying that we can't have a Russian base. Mm-hmm. And then you have Lukashenko saying, well, I don't know anything about this, you know, and Belarus is not ready for a Russian base. So, you know, in a way, they've found a little common ground there, and that's convenient for Lukashenko. And he can continue. He can say, look, I freed these people. You know, I'm not accepting a Russian base. So, you know, let's get along with the West. But the question is, or at least one question is, you know, when is Russia going to act on this? Is Russia going to come in and say, well, okay, you actually have to decide, you know, you're still in the Eurasian Economic Union, you know, we want a base. So I think the main thing to watch is what Russia does now.
Yeah, and that base is going to be, I think, the key indication of where this is going to go. If Lukashenko holds firm on the base, really balls in Moscow's court, and then we see what Moscow will do there. Another interesting thing I picked up on this is that the opposition has kind of changed their tone. It's less anti-Lukashenko and more stridently anti-Moscow now, and that's a very, very interesting shift.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think, you know, you saw that during the campaign, and you have to think that's one of the reasons that he released these opponents.
Yeah.
is because they can find a common ground. And it's actually useful for him now, not only on the level of, well, I make score points with the West, but also, you know, I get to thumb my nose at Putin and Russia.
Yeah, no, the role I keep thinking Lukashenko is trying to play is that of, maybe it's a bad analogy, but Ceausescu in Romania during the Cold War, who was in the Warsaw Pact, was formerly a Russian ally, but was playing games all over the place with the West and China and so on. So I'm wondering if Lukashenko is trying to carve out that kind of a role for himself.
Because in a way, I mean, you know, yes, Putin could come in and say, look, you have to decide. But Putin's not in that strong a position either because, you know, he needs Belarus and the Eurasian Economic Union. So he's not always arguing from a position of strength.
Yeah, it's his last ally west of Smolensk, as
exactly,
it's been called,
yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
And finally, the Russian business daily Vedomosti reports that Russia is cutting funding to state-run media by 1.1 billion rubles. This is interesting, given that the propaganda war was considered one of Russia's most successful endeavors in the last couple of years. Is this just the result of rough budgetary environment, or do we expect, can we read more into this? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's probably mostly just a lack of money, and maybe looking at where best to put money and finding that maybe it's been successful, but it could be called bloated, you know, this kind of propaganda machine. You know, I see apparently RT will be one of the losers in this.
Yes.
But on the other hand, Rossiya Sivogna, which is sort of newer and very big, is going to actually have a little bit of a budget increase. So that may be, it may be partly just kind of a rivalry inside you know, a decision about how to juggle funds within the kind of propaganda machine. But yeah, I think the main reason for it is probably just, you know, they don't have as much money.
Yeah, no, and it's early days yet, but sooner or later, this is going to increasingly become an issue with everything Russia's trying to do. They're not going to have enough money if the current economic climate continues. So maybe this is not, it might be an early alarm signal, maybe premature, but potentially a harbinger of things to come, no?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not a good sign, I think, for Russia.
Right. All right. Well, on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and joining me has been RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.